Hey, everybody. Ray Brehm here. Welcome to the podcast that will help you increase the income and influence of your book, Beyond Royalties. Book Profit Secrets with Ray Brehm starts now.
Hey, everybody. Ray Brehm here. Welcome back to another amazing session. And I'm with Chris Safarova. She is a Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and Amazon bestselling author. She's a former management consultant banker that's managed a $1 billion portfolio, and she's also a concert pianist. She's the CEO of firmsconsulting.com and strategytraining.com, and she's the host of the 90-day Business Building Summit. We're partnered on a lot of things, so this is going to be a fun conversation. Chris, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Ray. Always such a pleasure to be here with you.
And I'm real interested in this conversation today because obviously our topic is right up your alley. This is what you do. This is what you help people do, is get out of the 9-to-5, get out of the corporate cubicle and move to the world of entrepreneurship. So give us the 30-second version of how you got to where you are today, and then we'll go from there.
So I was in the corporate world and my career was going very well. I was doing very well. I may have been doing better than anyone from my graduating class at MBA during that time. But inside, I felt that I'm just on the wrong path. So I just felt that nagging feeling, and it was intensifying. And I started doing my kind of life's work, what I knew I came here to do on the side. So I would do it at nights, on the weekends, but it was not enough. And I felt it was not enough. And it got to a point that I got very sick, and I knew it was a wake-up call. I had to do my life's work full-time. And this is how I ended up being a full-time entrepreneur.
It's interesting because that's exactly how I, you know, that was the telltale sign for me, just physically being sick. Like, I just couldn't take it. I would wake up Sunday mornings, I'd get depressed because I knew I only had 24 hours left before I had to go back to the grind, the corporate office. And then it made me sick to my stomach when people asked me what I did for a living. And it's like, I hate my job. And yet most people from the outside were like, you got a good job. What are you ungrateful for? And it's like, because it's not my life's passion, like you just described. So that's cool. I mean, were the people that you help, is that kind of a similar thing? Are they just like becoming physically, what's the telltale sign that they really got to make that jump?
I think that it is different for everyone. So I think that some of us come here, it's such a deep topic to address very quickly, but I think everyone is on our own path, and some come with this mission that we have to do specific things. And for some of us, it's more flexible. And for me, it was not flexible. I had to do specific work. And when I was not doing it, I felt that I was losing time.
Okay, so let's start from ground zero. Let's somebody's watching this and they're like, okay, I make good money, stuck, can't stand the work, would love to be at home, would love to be, you know, see more of my kids, or just work in my pajamas sometimes when I'm, you know, don't have to be face to face, work in my pajama bottoms when I'm on the Zoom, you know, whatever it is. You know, what's kind of the first thing you help people do, you know, establish if they want to make that move?
Okay, so first of all, I think that it's important for people to understand that there are just so many opportunities to be a successful entrepreneur. I think that if you come in to this space and you care about your clients, you have certain skills and you're willing to improve in those areas, it's almost impossible to fail, because I work with a lot of people and I see what is out there. If you actually deliver value to your clients, people will want to work with you. So you just need to be able to deliver more value in people's eyes than what they're paying you in terms of monetary value. So I would say that the first steps would be to figure out what you want to do and start on the side doing that work. And as you start doing that work, you will start getting more data. How is it going? Are you still enjoying doing it? You need to experiment and try to start finding what is it you are really passionate about and what is your purpose in life. And it's a little bit different thing. So passion is emotion. It's excitement that we feel about certain things we are passionate about, things like going hiking and seeing the ocean every day, or just seeing sky, or reading or writing books. It's an emotion. And purpose, I think it's more for other people. How can you help others? How can you make this world better with your work, with unique combination of talents, experiences, drive that only you can combine in this unique way. So this is where I would start.
And, you know, it's interesting. As you were saying that, I'm thinking, okay, what might be going through people's heads? Now, for me, it would be like, well, I'm already working 40 or 50 hours a week. How am I going to do this? And I'm thinking it's kind of like the way you're describing it. It's kind of like, look, you can build this house of straw, you can build a house of sticks, or you can build a house of bricks. And that house of bricks is going to take longer. But if you really don't like the 40 hours, then you really should be doing that so you can get out of it. Otherwise, you're always going to be stuck doing that. So how do I establish myself? I don't know anything about online. I don't know anything about marketing. What's the tactics I might use now? So the strategy is, let's make sure we find something we like. I'm taking notes here. Deliver value. And by the way, the opportunities, I sit there and say, gosh, every day there's like, oh my gosh, that's a six-figure business. Oh my gosh, that's a six-figure business, because there's so much things going on right now. In fact, the delivering value has gone so down so low from COVID. Oh, I got, you know, COVID's going on, so I don't have to work as, I don't have to deliver value. There's so many places you can be competitive that it made me think of that when you said it. But also, there's just so many opportunities in general, and the world's constantly changing. But let's go to the tactics now. You're a, you know, best-selling author. You've got courses. You do coaching, consulting. You do all of the above. What's a good fit for everybody? They can't just start tomorrow doing all that. What's a kind of the most common path that you help people take?
Yes. So, Ray, I would say that coaching is a good place to start when you're starting out. It requires a lot of your effort. A lot of your heart has to go into it. So it's a lot of work, but it allows you to start making money. And you can start doing coaching at a much lower amount that you would eventually charge, just so that you can help some clients and get a good word out that you know what you are doing. You can actually get results for people. So I would start from coaching, and I would also start with content marketing. This is how I started. So I have done, the amount of information we have published as a company is unbelievable. We started publishing podcasts before podcasts were cool. By now we actually have two top-ranked podcasts. One is called Strategy Skills. So I have two parallel businesses, one where I help people build a business and another one where I help people be very successful in corporate careers and generally learn strategy skills and so on. I apologize for my voice. I'm a little bit under weather today. I think radio as well. But look at us. We are both committed to be here with you no matter what.
So, well, you know what? And that's the whole point, I think, too. It's like, well, it's a lot easier to do a quick interview with somebody or go on a podcast, then commit to the 8 to 10 hours you got to drive and go to work and sit in the cubicle and so forth. But explain to people what content marketing is, in case they don't know. We might have some people that are, you know, that's, I don't even, you know, everybody's definition could be different, but what is that?
So for me, content marketing is when you provide free information that is very helpful to people as an opportunity to get to know you, kind of sample the value that you can deliver for them. And then this way they get to know you and then potentially become your client. And then you can help them at a much, much grander scale. So it can include blog posts. It can include podcasting. Those are areas where I play and played. And it can also include summits, where you basically share your time, share your wisdom, knowledge, and helping people. I would say summits are type of content marketing as well. So basically any way where you are providing valuable advice, information, guidance for people, in for them to sample the value you can deliver for them.
And that could be publishing videos to YouTube. It could be...
Yes, I've done it as well.
Posting on social media. I mean, that could be overwhelming in itself. And that's why for me, like, I finally figured out I can't do it all. I'm going to pull back. Or if I can automate some of that, I will. I drive it all from email lists. I know you do a lot of that too. Okay. So you start your content marketing, build authority, build connections with your audience. What else should we be looking at?
So I would say if we go deeper into content marketing, I am a big believer in email marketing and specifically making every email very valuable for your readers. So I get feedback from my clients all the time. They keep on referring to some email that I just recently sent and they refer to it and it is kind of common knowledge. And it is incredible And sometimes I even don't realize how much of an impact my work makes. And by work, I mean writing those emails and sending them to my list. And I have two lists. So people are waiting for those emails. They're writing to me and they mention how much it helped them. So I would say start building your list early, your email list, and see it as relationships. So every person on that list is potential relationship you will have with that potential customer or current client, and deliver value to them, but also don't be afraid to promote how you can help them. So what I try to do is I deliver value in every email, but almost in every email, I also will actually promote something as well. Because if I don't mention how I can help people, then I will not have an opportunity to help them.
Yeah. In fact, I hadn't even thought of content marketing or email as content marketing until you said it. And of course, I'm biased in that direction too, because you kind of control the access to your audience. And now the value maybe for me sending an email is just some kind of dad joke, where you or I have seniors or they're just, you know, stock full of value. It's all content marketing. So what about, okay, we get past content marketing. Okay, I think I can coach. Let's say somebody's here. It's like, well, I help people do yoga at home, right? How could I be thinking about this from a coaching standpoint, or what other things I might want to do? Okay, I love doing yoga. I'm good at it. I know the, you know, upward, downward dog, all those things. I mean, I'm being funny, but so how can I jump, you know, I've got this 40-hour work corporate job. How can I start doing this? Let's just take that example.
Ray, first of all, your emails are much more than dad jokes. So just to clarify that, they are packed with value as well. Then in terms of if you have skill that you can teach people how to do yoga correctly in a way that they can benefit, their health will improve, their posture will improve, they will feel better about themselves, their body will become more lean, and they will look healthy, feel healthy. Think about the power you have to help people. So start there. Just start from that you have this incredible knowledge, and there are many people out there who don't have that knowledge that you can help have a better life. So now you have this full-time job, so make sure that you're still taking care of yourself, you're sleeping properly, you're eating properly. I'm not a big believer at burning yourself just to the point that you collapse and become sick. It's not worth it. You can do it without hurting your health. You just need to be very effective with your time. So you need to find time during the week when you have opportunities, little windows of time to do your life's work that you identified at the moment as yoga and helping people be more healthy. And it probably will evolve over time and expand. So don't be concerned that if you're not 100% sure what it is. You may have just a general idea what it may be, your life's work, and then you will get more and more information as you start working with people. So in this situation, if I was in your place, what would I do? I would focus on I would create a YouTube channel, and I will create a blog and maybe a podcast channel, and I would try to create one piece of content and then repurpose it across three platforms. Although it is a little bit harder with yoga because on podcast you cannot really see what you are doing. So let's say it is YouTube channel and blog post. So with YouTube channel, I would start recording simple yoga exercises and start building out your channel, start building out that audience, and I would create some kind of free gift to start building your email list. So in each video, I would also promote that free gift and put a link at the bottom of the video so people can get that free gift and in exchange sign up for your email list. And then as soon as I would get, let's say, 50 people on my email list, actually, you have to do it even when you have 10, because if you don't email your email list, the email list people will not stay. You have to keep it engaged. So even if you have one person, just start writing. So I would start writing emails, initially probably 3 emails a week. And then as the email grows, I will do more emails, potentially every day, eventually. And I would also use the content that I create for the video and repurpose it for a blog post and try to optimize it for search engines so you can start getting traffic from Google to that post. And in that post, I would also promote a free gift. And in parallel, I would also try to start finding a client, the first client, the first few clients that you can work with. Maybe you can find clients in your city and work in person, or maybe you can help people on Zoom. You can train people on Zoom. So I would come up with an offering that you can have. Maybe it can be as simple in the beginning as one-on-one coaching with you, training people how to do yoga correctly. And I would do those two things in parallel.
Yeah, I mean, that's good stuff, especially in your case. We picked an example that's highly visual, right? But I agree with the YouTube and blog posting. But the thing you touched on that's most important is just getting out there and getting it done. So I don't do it anymore. It's been about a year, but I had a book launch service, right? So we would guarantee people get bestseller on Amazon. And that was, I think the last price point was $5,000, somewhere in there. But I started doing that for like $197, the exact same thing two or three years earlier. And it was just to get some testimonials, and I was doing it on the side. I still had a franchise I owned that I was running full-time there and going to work full-time there. And that's the key component. It's like, get some under your belt, get a system down, and it just gets easier all the time, right? So the next thing I did with like Done For You Summits, I knew like, I know I can talk confidently and get customers, and I know I can do this, but I still didn't have the system down. Now we have like a 5-page, 200-point checklist that we go through with, you know, to make sure everything's done for our clients and stuff. And, you know, but that's, you don't hop out of bed and just say, okay, let me write all those 200 down. You've got to go through some iterations and build the system out. And so that, I really like what you said with that, especially from the, you know, I tend to forget the coaching side. Sometimes, you know, when you're starting, it feels like that's the thing I got to work up to. Like, I need the most authority to do that. And the fact of the matter is, you don't have to have your course all recorded, or you don't have to have your Done For You system necessarily. You just can help people. And there's a lot of people looking for help on what you know. And even if you're just one or two steps or 10 or 20 steps ahead, I remember when I was trying to publish my first book, and a friend of mine, you know, I owned a real estate business, and she was an agent that we partnered with on some stuff. She wrote a book about dating. I'm like, how did you do that? I need to learn how to write a book. And so if she had a course, I would have bought it at that time. That wasn't her business, but that's if you know how to do something and you just make the effort to figure out how to do it, and you could save people time. You can coach about that, right? Or create a service.
Very true. And Ray, and then from building from the foundation we discussed, I would also look into creating a course, because that's a way to create some passive income. So you're helping people, but it doesn't cost them as much as working with you one-on-one. And it also allows you to make money while you're sleeping. The dream of online business. Writing a book. Ray and I, we are huge believers in books. I published more than 20 books. I know Ray published a lot of books. And I would also look into writing a book, publishing a book, or even publishing a chapter in a book to begin with, just to become a published author. But I think publishing should also be part of your portfolio of activities if you want to run an online business that is centered around your expertise. And another thing that I will do is I will learn continuously on a daily basis to be the best yoga teacher and yoga practitioner in the world. Because this pursuit of mastery, it will shine through. People will feel it. People will feel it, people will see it, and they will much more likely want to work with you.
That's a great point too, because I feel like a lot of times in the beginning for me, it was like, if I'm still learning, then maybe I don't look like the master. It's like, no, it's the opposite. If you're still learning and you're going in, and I'd go into coaching calls, say, I just learned this thing today, you know, and people are like, oh, what, you know, what's the new thing? And my old self would have said, you know, in the beginning, I can't let them know that I don't know something. I just learned something. And now it's like, hey, I'm out there learning. And if you want to learn with me, stick with me, get on back, let's go. But it's kind of counterintuitive a little bit from that standpoint.
Yes. And Ray, just to add to what you said, one thing you will realize as you become expert at what you do is you can never know everything about the topic. And the more you know, the more you will realize how little you know. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's always pursuit of mastery. As soon as you think you are the master, I think that's a dangerous territory. I have seen it many times. When that happens, people start going the other way in terms of the expertise because they stop learning, they stop trusting, they stop paying attention, they stop respecting other people's opinions, they stop thinking that other people may know something that can benefit them and their clients. So I would say this learner mindset is a powerful ingredient of success.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it can be, especially if you've already got that bug and it's contagious, you know, we try to actually keep the scope from just buying too many courses as a, you know, as for me. And look, I got to do work, but boy, I really want to learn that. And I want to learn that. And I want to learn that. And, you know, even with our, you know, for instance, we have a Done For You summit service. Well, every summit, I've got a list of things like, here's some stuff I want to fix. Nothing that's broken necessarily, but hey, it could work better like this. And you and I were talking right before we started recording about, hey, how do we make this next summit better? Your 90-day business building summit. And it's like, we might actually make it a little more complicated tech-wise to make it run smoother and give us more data and make it easier on us during the summit, but it's a little more complicated to run. So it's constantly balancing those things. And if you're into learning and into playing or being nerding out on tech or whatever, it doesn't have to be tech, nerding out on the latest thing. Every year I take time management and year planning courses from different people. If I can learn one thing, that's, you know, that's a victory to me. So this is great stuff. What's the first thing somebody should do? I mean, I know you've got something for everybody below here, and I think it's pretty important, especially if you're, well, regardless of what stage you're at, you know, you should have a book or you should be working towards that. What do you got for us below? What should we do next?
So I have for you guys for free to download a book on how to self-publish a book. And as I mentioned, publishing, I believe, should be a part of your agenda if you want to be a successful business owner. And also, if you opt in for that, you will get on my email list. So when Ray and I run our next summit or another amazing project that we have in store for you guys that we haven't announced yet, then you will also get emails on that. And you can be part of that. So I would say, go get that book. I don't hold back value with my work. So you will get a lot of information on how to self-publish a book. And not all of those steps are required, but you will at least have a big picture on what can be done to successfully publish a book and actually have a profitable book or portfolio of books out there. Earning your passive income and building your email list and building your relationships with clients, potential clients.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the top ways to build authority and share, because a lot of times people, not everybody you run into is going to want to jump in your coaching program, but they do want to, like to get to know you a little first. Easy way for them to do it, passive way, and, you know, especially for introverts or non-interactive people, is like, I'll read the book first. Oh, I really like this person. I'll go on and, maybe I'll check out their coaching. So I've had a lot of people coming through books, or they stumble on you one way and then they go check to see if you've written any books on the subject you claim to be an expert at. Oh, you do? Well, I don't need to read that. They took the time to publish a book on it. Okay. Now they sold me. Their resume looks legit. So that's the 29 steps to self-publish a book. It's not that, you know, it's not, there's going to be some people out there, it's like, oh, it's rocket science. You need to use our special service or whatever. No, you can do it. Grab Chris's book and you can knock that one out right away as you're slowly building this side hustle into your empire. Awesome stuff. Chris, thanks so much. Everybody, thanks for joining us. This was another amazing session. I'm psyched, and we will see you on the next one. Take care.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Book Profit Secrets. You know, Abraham Lincoln once said if he had 6 hours to chop down a tree, he would spend the first 4 sharpening his axe. That's what this podcast is meant to do. That's also what we do on our site, our companion site, ray.fm. So check us out there and sharpen your axe, increase your influence, income, and audience. We'll see you next time.